who are here and part of the Corona Church family, and to our guests. Today, may you know that you are loved by God, our Father. He has called you to be saints. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin by asking a question. How many of you remember Meindert van Beveren? He passed away as I got a call one day from his daughter. Said, "Dad's in the hospital, can you come visit?" I did. Walked in the room, he was being taken care of by a nurse, and his daughter whispered to me and said, Dad wants to go home. That's all he talks about. He can't go home. He's not well enough. I talked to him, and then on the way home, as I was driving, I went, "Oh, I missed it." Called his daughter the next day because it was already late. When I called her, she said her dad had already passed away, and I went, "Oh man, did I miss it." So I said to her, "You know that thing about your dad saying, 'I want to go home'?" She said, "Yes." I said, "He wasn't talking about going back home to your house. He was saying he's ready to go, so that when he wakes up, he'll see Jesus." And she said, "You're right." I wish I had caught it so I could have said to him, "Yes, it's okay." And even at that stage of life, as all of you know, when death happens, it always hurts. It's never easy. And it wasn't easy for the disciples. When you look at the passage that was read this morning, Jesus for some time had been trying to prepare the disciples for the fact that he was going to die. He was going to die on a cross and he would be resurrected. But they didn't get it. Why is that? Because just like me and just like Meindert's daughter, you didn't want to admit that might be happening. And so every time Jesus talked about dying, strange things would happen. Peter would say to him, "Jesus, don't talk about that." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right? That's what I came for. I came to die in your place. Jesus made the statement, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." And the disciples kept saying, "This doesn't make sense. What do you mean? A little while and you will see me, and a little while you won't see, or you won't see me, a little while you will." And of course, we know now that Jesus was talking about the fact that he was going to die in a little while, and then he'd be resurrected in a little while, and we've gotten used to that. But put yourself in the disciples' shoes. They were expecting a deliverer from Rome. They were expecting someone to come in power and glory and announce from the temple that Rome was toast. Rome was history. The throne of David was going to be reestablished, and he, Jesus, the Messiah, would sit on it. They thought that for 3.5 years. In fact, they thought about it so much they were arguing about who would be the greatest and who would have the highest positions. It happened over and over and over again, right? And now it's just the night before Jesus is to be crucified. And he tries to prepare them again by saying, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and a little while you will see me." They were puzzled by two things: the little while, and about first not seeing him, then seeing him. It had been 3.5 years. How much more little while was there to be? We've all had those moments when little whiles seem like eternities. 2 weeks ago, a little while meant that a daughter was coming home from studying overseas. It's been a long 2 weeks, right, Lisa? A little while can seem like eternity. There's a marriage to take place in May. It's going to take forever to get there, Austin and Omar. right? A little while. But when you're anxious about something, looking forward to something, that little while seems to be forever. And the disciples were in the forever of the little while. Jesus didn't answer about how soon. He just said a little while. And then he told them, you won't see me and then you will. And they didn't understand that. And Jesus was trying to prepare them. And in verse 20, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. And that word means you are going to be totally in grief. You are going to be sorrowing. Sorrow will grip your heart. The world's going to rejoice when I die. They're going to be glad I'm gone because they don't understand me. But you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will turn to joy. On the resurrection morning, their sorrow turned to joy. They didn't still understand it all. They still were caught up in the flux of it all. They weren't sure what it meant about Jesus being Messiah. They weren't even sure on the day he ascended what it meant, because on that day they said to him, Jesus, are you now going to establish your kingdom? It's been a little while, far too long. And Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this earth. And he went to heaven, and lo and behold, it would be the disciples who would carry on the work of establishing his kingdom on this earth. Right? Not a literal kingdom, but a kingdom of righteousness, grace, love, joy, peace, the principles and characteristics of his kingdom in the hearts and lives of those who would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A little while. Verse 22, you're going to have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take your joy from you. Why? Because our joy is found in Jesus. Our joy is found in Jesus. Our joy is found in Jesus. No one can take that away. Only you can decide if you want to walk away. What is interesting, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but in John 17, Jesus said that he has kept the disciples, and he's praised in that prayer, as we will discover in a few weeks, that he prays that we will be kept by the Father. God is more interested in keeping you with him than you are in keeping him with you. It's true. It's true. Then Jesus goes on. In that day, when the little while is over, you will ask nothing. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. And I scratch my head. What do you mean? They'd ask nothing in Jesus' name. To ask in the name of Jesus is not just to ask so that he and say, please, dear Jesus, because of your name and your power, will you do it? It's to pray, I'm asking within the understanding I have of your character, who you are and what you have done. They had asked nothing in his name because everything they'd asked of him was, will I be on your right hand or your left? It's not what his kingdom was about. That's not what his mission was about. They had asked nothing in his name because everything they'd asked was, Jesus, why don't you call down fire from heaven to destroy them because they're not one of us? They'd asked nothing in his name because they didn't understand that it was okay to minister to Samaritans and to touch a leper and to touch the unclean and to let little children come. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he said they will no longer ask from him, but they'll ask from the Father. Why? Because they will realize that everything they have came from God through Jesus. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What's interesting is during that time between his death and resurrection, they would ask nothing, because in that day of the crucifixion, all they would experience is shame, guilt, denial, and abandonment. Later, they would be the recipients of mercy, forgiveness, grace, and peace because of what Jesus would do on the cross, which is what these are symbols of. This morning, there's an opportunity for our sorrow to be turned into joy. In a couple of ways. When I first chose this topic back in December, little did I know how many in our congregation would be experiencing death and sorrow. For those who have experienced it or are experiencing it, today you mourn, but one day that mourning will be turned to joy when Jesus comes again. Right? But there's another way the mourning needs to be turned to joy this morning. So often when we take part in the Lord's Supper, we spend so much time thinking about how unworthy we are, we forget how valued we are. We spend so much time thinking about where we failed Jesus that we forget that Jesus overcame for us. We spend so much time being solemn about this service, and that's fine. We forget it's okay to be joyful about this service. This service is a reminder that the sorrow and the shame and the abandonment that we have because we aren't good enough have been replaced by joy, peace, love, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control of the Spirit living and dwelling in us. And yes, we fail. But if we fail, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And yes, we come up short. But when we come up short, He comes down to us, looks at us and says, "My beloved son or daughter, come with me." There's grace, there's forgiveness, and there is the power to transform and change us. This morning, will you let Jesus turn your sorrow into joy? Will you let Him take the sins and mistakes that you have committed since the last communion? And will you let Him take that and allow you to experience the joy of knowing there is nothing between my soul and the Savior? Nothing between. When you go to the foot washing service, yes, offer, confess, pray. When you come back, come back with the awareness that you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Come back with the awareness that you have His robe of righteousness. Just this morning in my Sabbath school class, the class discovered something. It came about in the discussion. When Jesus died on the cross, the soldiers, they cast lots for His garment. The tunic they couldn't tear, so they cast lots for that, but they tore the garment, the outer garment. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, received Christ's robe at the foot of the cross. That robe is available to all, and you don't have to be the lucky one to get the lottery. It's offered through the love and the grace and the mercy of the one who loved us so much that He came to die for us, that we might live for Him. This morning, won't you allow Jesus to turn your mourning into joy? This time we'll separate for the foot washing service. If you've never seen that or been part of it, you may go and observe. You may stay here. If you're not sure what it means, ask somebody in one of the rooms or out here in the foyer. Just motion to me, and I'll come talk to you, Kelly, Gilbert, or any of the elders. But please, stay by. Don't rob yourself of the opportunity to experience the joy that only Jesus can give. We'll separate at this time.